There were sweet words we meditated on Wednesday night when God spoke to us from Isaiah's prophecy, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And I will not always contend, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him. I hid me, and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him also. I will lead him also, and I will restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. And I will create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that's afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. I will speak peace. I will bring peace to him that's afar off and to him that is near." That godly remnant we saw felt far off from the comfort, far off from the joy of the communion. And there are such today too, who struggle to believe the glad tidings of the gospel. It's a little group of 11 men standing around the Lord Jesus who were just like that too. Struggle to believe the glad tidings that Jesus spoke to them. Their hearts were troubled and restless and fearful and confused. And though Jesus was even with them, and though the words of peace flowed from his lips, it didn't root in their heart. It didn't flower in their souls at that moment. Yeah, so there are undoubtedly there this morning. And therefore it's so beautiful what Jesus says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace." John Calvin wrote on that, "I will cause them to hear the glad tidings by which they shall be filled with joy, even to you who stand far off because you feel so unworthy and unsure." And am I wrong if one fulfillment of that verse is John 14, verse 27, our text for this morning? If you go there, please. Our text for this morning is, "Peace I leave with you." John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now let it be obvious, congregation, that I cannot apply these words to all of you today. Isaiah 57 ended with these words, "They're the wicked, they're like a troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt, mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." As long as we live without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's no peace. And you are like the troubled sea, always dealing with the mire and the dirt of your own heart and your own life, and you have no peace. Now, mind you, God's people also still are dealing with the mire and the dirt of their own heart. They do. They have peace. Not because they don't have sins in their hearts. And only because they don't have struggles and trials and difficulties with themselves. No. But they look to Jesus. Repentance is after wisdom. I like that word. I picked it up a million bridges again. So I'm reading his book. Repentance is after wisdom. It's like you look back and you say, oh, that's so wrong. How could I be like this? Terrible what I've done. You can't undo it. You don't need to undo it. That's God's work. Can't do it. We cannot undo it. So he says repentance is after wisdom. You look back and you rethink your past and you have a growing conviction of your sin. Now, if that's missing this morning, then please get on your knees and give God to hear your prayer. Lord, give me after wisdom. Help me to see myself and my past and my present in the light of thy law. Pray for that. Don't just be content not to be repenting, because you're in bad trouble if you die without it. But repentance is itself not saving. It is faith in Jesus that the scripture declares is saving. Again, that's also missing, right? In many still, faith in Jesus is the wisdom that you look outside of yourself unto Jesus and you verbalize your faith. Lord, I put my trust in thee alone. And if you're given to do that, you're a blessed man. Even if that faith is weak, and even if that faith is in the midst of a reedy patch of your own life, if there is that looking and that longing and that growing conviction that there is none other but Jesus to whom I want to go, though I don't seem always to get there, and you are a blessed man already, because that you found in the 11 men that stood around Jesus. They were repenting and they were believing, though they were little midgets in both. Let's listen to what Jesus says tomorrow, this morning to Sat. Peace I leave with you. It's Jesus' message to his downcast followers. He says, first, I've obtained peace for you. And secondly, I give my peace to you. Two thoughts. I have obtained my peace. And I am giving my peace to you. Now, these 11 people, you could notice that from verse 1. As well as from our text, they're downcast. They're not happy believers. They're troubled. They're fearful. They're restless. They're tossed up and down. They're confused. And then you see Jesus on his best, don't you? Because chapter 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus at his best. As a mother stands around his disciples and Ezra draws them to his heart and he says, now listen, I almost would say boys, listen boys, as the master to the servant, and let me tell you, first, don't anymore be troubled. Don't be afraid. Yeah? Don't. No need for that. And he tries to comfort them. And what does Jesus do to comfort them? He tells them something. He tells them something. Now, I have my suspicion that he told them this at the very table he instituted for the first time. Yeah, probably the end of this chapter. Notice what it says in verse 31. Arise, let's go hence. They're leaving the upper room. So most of us think that these words are spoken right around the Lord's table. And he comforts them. With what? Well, with the bread and the wine and the words. The words of God is what comforts, isn't it? It's still the only way in which God comforts his people today. By his word, of course, brought by the Spirit of God into the heart. He says that in several places like verse 17 and 16. I'll pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter. And the Holy Spirit takes that word and he brings it to our heart. So we pray for that. And we have done that already. That happens this morning. I can only bring it to your ear. That's it. If I get that far. That our Holy Spirit can take that word and let it sink in our hearts. He alone can do that. And as he looks upon them, he speaks very gently and lovingly and plainly about peace. Peace. The Greek word Irene is the translation of the Hebrew word shalom. Peace. That's not just no war, no fighting. That's what we would call peace in the world. But that's not the peace, the shalom, the Irene of the scriptures. Peace means restoration, harmony, reconciliation, forgiveness, security, rest. To be in the Father's house, that would be peace. To be home with God forever in glory, now that is the ultimate, isn't it? That's the ultimate. But that's the shalom, peace. Now this peace was lost when we sinned. We lost totally all peace. We lost restoration, we lost closeness, we lost harmony, we lost purity, we lost life. And if you are without Christ, that's where you still are. You got no life. You're living without peace. There is no peace to the wicked. Good. You may not have war, but you don't have the biblical peace. You're restless. You're restless. You grab for the things of this world to fill up the big hole in your heart because you have no peace. No peace. Sad. What we did, huh? Broke the whole beautiful peace God created in paradise. And now we are living with our insecurity and our bondage and our oppression and our misery and our fears and our separation and our guilt and our shame. And now this peace that Jesus speaks about. Peace, I leave with you. Now Jesus obtained this peace through a life of obedience in life and death. He was not given this peace. He earned it. He did not get this as an inheritance. He labored for it. This peace he bought with the price of his blood. This peace he bought by leaving the comforts of his Father's presence to sink in the bosom of hell. This peace he bought when he exchanged the riches of the communion of with God for the ultimate rags of being forsaken of God. He bought this peace with sweat and blood, with sacrifice and sorrow, with shame and humiliation. He earned this peace by being stripped, by being shamed, by being mocked, by being numbered among the transgressors, and by being rejected. When he was made sin by his Father, as he thrust him from himself. And as we this morning see the signs and the symbols of the blood and wine, don't forget to remember and to trace in your mind the journey. What brought you this peace? There was ultimately nothing whole anymore in Jesus. as he was ripped and flayed by the knife of God's justice. Every emotion, every layer of his being felt shredded to buy peace for us. Do this in remembrance of me. Secondly, Jesus says this morning, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now the opening words of this scripture, verse 27, actually is quite a common Jewish wish of greeting. Peace I leave with you. That's what the Jewish people would often say to each other. Peace, shalom. Even now today you hear it when you meet with Jewish people. You hear the word shalom. Peace be with you. So in that sense, almost the same. No, not at all the same. Because read well what he says. Peace I leave with you. I don't give like the world gives. They just give you a wish, and that's how far they can go. They can wish you the nicest and the most beautiful things, but they can't give it to you. But my gift of peace is not a wish. My peace declaration is a declaration. It is a testament. It is an inheritance. It is a bestowing of my peace upon you, like someone bestows upon someone a gift that he has earned. And now Jesus says to us this morning, children of God, my peace, I bought it, I give unto you. I just don't wish it on you. I don't pray for it for you. I give it unto you. Matthew Henry writes so beautiful. He wills his clothes to the soldiers. He wills his mother to John. He wills his soul to his father. He wills his body to Joseph, since he has no silver, gold, lands, or good to give. He gives unto his people what was far better. Peace I give unto you. Shalom. Security. Wait a moment. He didn't say, peace I give unto you. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace. Not just peace. What is his peace exactly? What would Jesus mean with that, my peace? My peace that I possess, or that I earned, that I have, and that I enjoy, I give unto you. Now there are three thoughts about what his peace is exactly, and oh, if I only have a tongue to describe something of it. The first is the peace of being God's son. Listen, twice the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was first of all Jesus' peace. He knew the security of the relationship between him and his Father. He knew when his father looked upon him, he was pleased with what he did. Not only in his life, but also after he finished the cup and he shone the smile of his fatherly light on his son again. And he raised him from the dead on the resurrection morning. Jesus lived in the security of the relationship Father, Son, Shalom. That peace he gives unto you. That security, that unbelievable, beautiful security of being the child of God, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That peace. We are the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. And though it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like the Son, but in the moment of this existence as you sit here, you're not like him. Far shot from it, as you know. And nonetheless, secure my peace of the security of my Father and me, I give unto you. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Though you may feel poor, you're rich. Secure. Though you fail as a child, you're not disowned. Because you're covered by the peace of Jesus. Secondly, he lived in the peace of being acceptable to God on the basis of what he did. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased. And the Father hid his countenance for a moment from it was not because of what the Son did. It's because what you and I did. And as he pleased to bruise his Son, he did that not because there was anything wrong with the Son. Jesus' peace of being acceptable unto the Father on the basis of what he did. Hebrews 13 says, and now the God of peace brought again Jesus from the dead, because Father was pleased with all what he did and he accepted all that he did. Congregation, listen, children of God, peace I give unto you, my peace of being acceptable to God in what I have done, I give unto you. Maybe this week you've been struggling to get away from the feelings of your unworthiness and feeling humbled and unfit and yes, you'll never get away from that in yourself. But here, my peace. You are accepted in the Father's sight. On my merits. That's the peace. My peace. Paul writes in it, Ephesians 1, he has made us accepted in the beloved in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And thirdly, one more peace. My peace I give unto you. The peace of being glorified with the glory he had before the world began. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. He looked for the joy. What was that joy? The joy that he will one day again be brought out of all this humiliation. And he would bestow again and enjoy the glory that he had with the Father. John 15:5, he prays, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And one day, we will share that same glory. Listen again to God speaking in Romans 8. verse 17. If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Today, we may live in our state of humiliation as well, don't we? As we live in this earthly existence until we die. But in the meantime, we have been given the peace that one day we will be with him in glory. Exalted from all sin and brokenness, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Stop having a troubled heart. Stop being afraid. Believe me. If you believe in God, trust me also. Now what does Jesus Christ want us to do with this gift of peace, dear brethren and sisters in the Lord? It would honor and rejoice Christ if this morning we would rejoice in his peace. Instead of looking at your own sins, he calls us to rejoice in his accepted work. Instead of being burdened and troubled by our own troubles, rejoice with me. Notice what he says in the next verse. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. Now if you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Matthew Henry writes on this, we show love to him when we rejoice in the glories of his exaltation instead of lamenting the sorrows of his humiliation. We show glory and love to him when we rejoice that he has gone to his Father where we shall shortly be with him. Many that love Christ let their love run out in the wrong channel. They think if they love him, they must be continually in pain because of him. But those that love him should dwell at ease in him and rejoice in him and with him. Now, that's a healthy instruction from Matthew Henry. Therefore, beloved, don't be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of this peace. Don't be discouraged. It's good to be humbled, as we heard on Wednesday, but it's wrong to be discouraged. Discouraged is a form of unbelief. That's never pleasing. Humbled, yeah, that's good. But not discouraged. Behold my body, broken for you. Behold my blood, to buy your peace and to secure it and to hold it as a treasure undefiled waiting for you in heavenly glory. I have paid the price. I finished the robe of your righteousness in my obedience. I've emptied the cup my Father filled with your sins and your curse. There is therefore now no condemnation for any who by faith look and lean and trust in Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you. Amen. Let's sing. 68. No, no. 188. Verse 3 and 4. May all those that seek thee May all those that make thee their choice, will you please ask, is that me, Lord? Am I seeking thee? Am I making thee my choice? May they great gladness and blessedness see. And may all those who love thy salvation, is that me, Lord? Do I love thy salvation? Long for it. Live for it. Rejoice and constantly magnify thee. 3 and 4 of 188.